Dive into the world of flavors and delight. Every drop brings health and fuels our fight. Coffee, the ultimate treat. Podcast takes the lead, where each brew inspires and plants the seed. Now let's explore curiously with our taste buds and ears with every delightful sip with the host. Coffee, the ultimate treat.
Welcome back, everyone, to another wonderful episode. And we're great to have with you, with us today, John Solder, I think it is. Sorry, is that the correct pronunciation?
Close, it's Solider. In Europe, they say Solider is kind of the German pronunciation, but
okay,
that could be the Australian pronunciation.
Okay, so it's wonderful to have you here today, John, and we'd just really love to deep dive into your experiences in entrepreneurship and networking and conversation and getting together people and growing, from small organizations to large organizations. I can see here, really deep dive into everything that you've done there, John. And I see that you're a speaker, an acclaimed author, a veteran in the direct selling industry. So this will be something that will be very intriguing to all our listeners. So to stay tuned, guys, and let's get into it with John today. And he's going to share you some tips, hints, and great experiences of many years. So you'll really want to get something out of it today. So, John, where would you like to start? So you're just telling me that you've had some experiences here in Australia. How did you find Australia, and how did you find the networking and the collaboration here in Australia, and being able to sit down and have a coffee with people? Did you find that as valuable to you?
The people in Australia are very, very friendly people. First of all, great networkers. They like to talk. They like to communicate. They like their coffee. You're right. I had lots of cups of coffee when I was there. I was there twice. I did two rounds of meetings there. This is a while ago, early 1990s.
Right, okay.
And we had a very consumable product that we brought to Australia. And I did, as I was telling you before we started, I saw a lot of your country. Big country to see, by the way.
Yeah.
I remember flying from Sydney to Perth. And I realized when I got to Perth that flight was longer than New York to Los Angeles, to give people an idea, how big your country is. I mean, they know how big it is, but they may not have ever made the trip. I found a lot of people had never been to Perth. But
yeah, for sure.
I remember in Perth, too, I don't know if you remember the TV show MASH.
Yes, definitely.
They had a sign with all the cities, back in North America that people were from, that, and what the mileage distance was. I remember being in Perth, and I think I saw a mileage sign, and I was like 11 or 12,000 miles, I think, from New York. Like you couldn't. I lived in New York at the time. I live in Dallas now, but it was like geographically further from home than I was at that moment. But the funny part is everybody was speaking English, so I felt very comfortable, very at home. Beautiful city, okay. Beautiful country, friendly people, great networkers, great coffee. Great everything. The food was good. The hospitality was wonderful, and just a very, very pretty country. And I got to get back there at some point down the road.
And was there, without naming too many brands, because we want to try to incite entrepreneurship into people's creativity, but was there any certain coffee in Australia, Australian brands that stood out to you?
I don't remember, to be honest with you, because it's so long ago. But I did go to some of the coffee shops in Sydney, for example. And I found that they had a multitude of brands, both, I guess some that has grown in Australia, because I guess there are such a big country, you're close enough to the equator to grow coffee, and then some that were from some other parts of the world, that, you know, we don't get here in North America, or we didn't at that time anyway. Maybe we do today, but at that time we didn't. But yeah, they're all very good brands, and but very popular. I was surprised because I thought Foster's was going to be the number one drink in Australia, but I found out instead that it was actually coffee. People prefer coffee even to the great Foster's oil can beer. They still have the oil can beer there, the big oil cans?
I think so, but we're more leaning to, when it comes to beers and things like that, we're more leaning towards boutique beers here in Australia now.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of that happened over here too, by the way. A lot of little local breweries popping up. You know, yeah. Great country, great experience. I used to have a picture. I don't know where it went, but I had a picture of me at the zoo, the famous zoo, holding a baby koala.
Very nice.
That was an experience because I think the only place in North America to see a koala is at the San Diego Zoo, which I've never been to. I've been to the Sydney Zoo.
Okay.
The San Diego one, which is much closer.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, and so how valuable do you think, obviously here in Australia, you know, sitting down and networking, and what percentage or how valuable do you think it is to have an environment and like a coffee environment to network? And how often do you think that, I mean, you've probably had thousands of networking, small events and large events. How valuable do you think it is to entrepreneurs and small business owners?
You know, it's actually a great question. I'm glad you asked it. It's totally valuable because what it does is it gives people a comfort level of normalcy. Because let's face it, anytime we're invited to a meeting of any sort,
yep,
we're always anticipating that we're going to be sold. You know, the person on the other end of the invitation, they want to sell us something, even if it's a neighbor or relative, right? But when you get coffee involved, that's something that they have at home. That's something that they have a comfort level with. It puts them at ease to be able to then listen to, you know, either why is that coffee special, if coffee is what you're marketing, or if you're marketing something else, to just kind of break the ice of, hey, let's have a cup of coffee and talk. And it breaks down all of those social barriers and all of those fears that people have. It's like, hey, and I've told people over the years, because I still meet people at coffee shops here in the state.
Mm-hmm.
One right on the corner I could walk to a Starbucks, actually. And
okay, yeah.
You know, when I lived in Canada, they had a chain called Tim Hortons, same thing. You know, everybody went
to okay, yep. Starbucks.
And what was nice about that was it'd be like, hey, look, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. And if you like what I have to tell you, great, we'll do business. And if not, we'll shake hands and have a cup of coffee and we'll spend 15, 20 minutes together. And, you know, I'll give you one other example of why that's such a great way to do any business.
Mm-hmm.
When I was living over in Europe, I lived over in Europe at one point as well. People are saying, wow, this guy's lived all over the world. How do you wind up in boring Dallas, Texas? That's a story in itself. But anyway, when I was living over in Europe, I lived in Milan for a short time.
Okay.
And I would go to these little bistro cafes to meet prospects for my business or distributors in my business, right?
Right.
We'd always meet at one of these little things, and we're very social. And then I found out that the fella who started, he didn't really start Starbucks, but he actually bought Starbucks, that he had patterned those European cafes into what Starbucks is, where you can go in, be in there 15, 20 minutes, have a cup of coffee, read the newspaper, or meet somebody for business, or meet a friend socially, whatever.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It was kind of a break in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from all the other stresses of the day, it was like that 15 or 20 minutes of getting in, having a cup of coffee, what was nice. And if you could tie it to business, all the more better, because the person you're meeting too, they're coming maybe from sitting in traffic or dropping a kid at school or dealing with, you know, something in their respective livelihood, you know. So, you know, there's all of these things that go with a coffee brand that are social pluses that no other, frankly, no other product has in the direct selling space.
Mm-hmm. Interesting, John, and it'll be very insightful for the audience, I believe. And so, John, you know, just let's go back because I believe the audience, they really want to know you've got some great nuggets there. You've got a great lot of experience. How valuable, seeing as you've started businesses and things like that, how valuable do you believe coffee was for you starting out in your early days and even now?
Well, you know, it's always been the social fabric. You know, it's always been whatever. Like, I don't drink alcohol. I stopped drinking alcohol when I was 20 for personal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I've always gravitated towards, hey, let's meet for a cup of coffee and talk. And I've done that literally all over the world. I mean, I've done it in Europe. I've done it in your country. I've done it in New Zealand. I've done it in Japan. I've done it in Hong Kong. I've done it in Manila. I've done it in Dallas, Texas. Very, very important. But the other thing is, when I was on the corporate end of network marketing, which I worked three and a half years with a company here in Dallas, our day started and our thought sessions started with coffee on the table always.
And right, yeah.
We would have these big, like, even taller than that, you know, wider than I could spread my hands, we would get these big carafes of coffee.
Okay.
and a whiteboard.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were all you know, were coming from home, so everybody had their workout or their breakfast or whatever. So, but we'd get together at our office, and we would have think tank sessions
around
coffee. And we took that company from $162,000 a month to $700 million in sales.
Wow.
And the owner passed away. I wound up leaving for some other opportunities and all of that. And the company's no longer a networking company. But my only point about that is we revolved it all around the coffee. Right? Like, and we had assignments. The owner would get one day. I'd get another day. There was a third guy in those meetings. He'd get the third day. And everything revolved around coffee. And it was like, you know, if you didn't bring the coffee, you had to go back to get the coffee so we could start the meeting and have the meeting. And we'd kill carafes of coffee. I mean, we, you know, two, three carafes of coffee were not unusual for three guys. And sometimes we'd have other people in, distributors or vendors and things.
Uh-huh.
You know, we'd had a fourth or fifth person. But the coffee was always right in the middle of our meetings. And I think it does stimulate, you know, the thought process. But also, once again, it gives that what would you call it? Hominess
to a
environment, right? Because it's something you also do at home. So, you know, once again, we always had coffee. So coffee goes with everything. Coffee is a non-offensive product. You know, you don't know these days, a lot of people that maybe have had difficulty with drinking in the past, if you offer them an alcoholic beverage, you might offend them. Or that, or they have to explain themselves, which they may not be comfortable sharing with the world, you know, whatever. Like, in my case, I gave a drink, and because my father was an alcoholic, I don't want to be one.
Yeah.
I don't mind telling people that, but I never was one. But other people, they don't,
for
whatever reason, they don't want to tell their whole story. And sometimes they do. But the point I'll make about that is, you offer somebody a cup of coffee, if they're not a coffee drinker, they'll have tea. If they're not a coffee or tea drinker, they'll have water or juice or soda or some other beverage.
Exactly.
You're not going to offend somebody by offering them a cup of coffee.
Yes.
And you're not going to offend them either inviting them for a cup of coffee, even if in their thinking, well, I don't drink coffee, I'll drink something else. It's the metaphor for let's have a comfortable meeting that isn't going to have a lot of stress to it and a lot of pressure, right? We're meeting for a cup of coffee versus whatever. So I think it's a great way to build, you know, any business, direct selling businesses or other businesses, and use the coffee around, you know, selling an insurance product or selling a piece of real estate or selling, you know, whatever else there is. Most of the good car dealerships in the world always have a coffee bar.
Wow.
Amazing. I mean, think about it. You go to buy a car.
Yes.
Like, once again, why? Because they want you to relax, right? They want
yes.
Like, hey, I'm making a big decision, a buying decision here. I'm going to spend some money. You want that individual to be comfortable. And sometimes if they're having a cup of coffee while they're making that decision, it helps them to relax a little bit, You know, so there's many, many benefits to that unique beverage found so many years ago and continues to grow. The coffee market is a huge market and just gets bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah, it's very amazing, John, how it's grown. And now, with our short time that we have, and our wonderful listeners would love to be able to get some nuggets from you, John, within the mentoring and the importance of mentoring and collaboration and networking, John, with all your experiences in network marketing and growing businesses and helping, supporting businesses. Give us some of your valuable lessons that come to mind right now that for our listeners who are in that type of industry. So if you can just go ahead and share what's off the cuff for you anyway.
Well, I'll do it two ways. Number one, okay, one of my books.
Okay, excellent.
2020.
Moving Up 2020 Beyond.
On Amazon, of course.
Mm-hmm.
In this book, I have a lot of things that you can do. And I'll give you a simple example to answer your question. One thing is called the 10-penny principle.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really very, very, very simple. When you leave your home in the morning,
yes,
10 pennies in your left pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you talk to a prospect or meet with a prospect, be it about your product or your business opportunity or both, right? Most of the time, presentations about both.
Yes.
Take it from your left pocket and stick it over in your right pocket.
Okay.
That sounds very, very simple. And it is very, mm-hmm. very simple. But here's the real point. It's going to get you into the habit of talking to 10 people per day. Now, mm-hmm. if you're talking about coffee, just about everybody drinks coffee one way, shape, or form, decaf, regular, et cetera, et cetera. So if you're talking about coffee, for example, and I realize your listeners mm-hmm. may be marketing vitamins or, you know, skincare or other products as well, it works because it gets you into that discipline.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing that I found coming into network marketing in 1983, which seems like a lifetime ago, and it is, 42 years ago, was the fact that I was a disciplined person. And mm-hmm. when my mentor said, here's what you do. You put 10 pennies in your left pocket. You talk to 10 people a day. Once you get in that habit, you won't need the 10 pennies because you'll just do it automatically. And that's kind of what happened. So that's one of many things that I talk about in this book, Moving Up. And they can get it digital if they want. That's one idea. Another idea is really how to build systems. Because people buy into systems. You know, if you look at McDonald's, for example.
Yes.
Not the best product.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah, they sell a lot of junk. Okay.
Yeah.
They got salads and stuff now, too, in most places. But at the end of the day, they don't have the best hamburger, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So why do they sell more than everybody else? Because they have systems to do mm-hmm. So I talk a little bit about systems and why you have to have systems in network marketing.
Awesome.
Successful, right? That people can plug into. These days, what we're doing right now, podcast. Okay? Get yourself a podcast.
Yep.
I mean, there's 4.2 million podcasts, for example, going on as we speak in English. That's just in the English-speaking world.
Yes.
And that number's grown from 3.7 million a few short years ago. So people are getting into podcasting. Great way to communicate, like what
yes.
you're doing. Great way to communicate.
Amazing.
Product, an opportunity, a business, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what this book is about. That's a couple of things. And then, of course, Leave Nothing to Chance. That was the second book that came out, and my podcast.
Okay.
This as well. And in this book is more some of the things that some of the people I've mentored have done in the business, some of their ideas and some of their strategies. So this one's more my stuff. And then this was more other people's stuff that I kind of report on.
Okay.
Well, my own story. But, you know, a couple of things that people can do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people tell you all the time in network marketing, well, make a list. Well, that sounds great, but that's old school.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But here's what I suggest to people. Who do you like working with?
Mm-hmm. Great. Yeah, great question.
create the environment of who do I actually like working, who am I comfortable with, to build a business, I got to build more than those people, obviously, but I got to start somewhere. Let me find the people, whether it's 10 people, 15 people, 30 people, that I really enjoy their company. Because we're going to be working very intimately. We're going to be doing conference calls and three-way calls. And if we live locally, face-to-face meetings. So we're going to be spending a lot of time together. If we don't like each other, we probably shouldn't work together. But if we
like each other,
we can overcome a lot of stuff. And we can get a lot of the heavy lifting done in a business, helping each other. Where, hey, I can't do the meeting today on this side of town, but you've got a prospect over there. Would you mind doing the meeting? And I got a couple of people on my other team, for example, that are in that area of town. Would you mind, you know, having those folks come? And what do most people say? Of course, the more the merrier, right?
So,
you know, things like that where you're building a team, don't look at it so much as you're building a sales force. Sales force is a negative connotation. I look at it as building a team. If I was a coach in sports, okay, for example, you've got something I'm a big fan of, by the way, your Aussie football. I'm a big fan.
Yep, okay, yeah.
And if you're building a team, okay, in your city for Aussie football, you want the best head coach, you want the best assistant coaches, you want the best sports trainers, you want the best athletes, obviously, okay?
Yes.
And believe it or not, you even want the best home office so that they can continuously get you the right people. A guy gets hurt, then get you another guy in that position. And of course, the sixth thing, you need great fans.
Right? Yes.
The great organizations in Aussie football, the great organizations in rugby, the great organizations in professional sports throughout the world, right?
Yep.
All of them have one common thing. They understand building the team. And that members of the team are going to change over the course of time. People are going to age out. They're going to get sick. They're going to die. They're going to quit. So you're constantly building a team of people. But my advice starting out, though, start with the people that you like. Okay? Just start there. Because
it's nice and simple.
Now you've made it social. You can have your coffee get-togethers and strategize. Okay? Figure out what we're going to do. Hey, everybody. Listen, I don't know everybody that you know. You don't know everybody that I know. So let's do this. I'm going to bring one of my friends to our coffee meeting on Tuesday night. You bring one of your friends. Let's tell the other three people on the team to bring one of their friends. And now five people who knew each other brought five people who don't know each other. Now we have 10 people who are trying to build a little business together and at the same time are building relationships and friendships. You know, the most important ship, okay, it's not an ocean-going liner. The most important ships that we build in life are relationships. So now you're building relationships with one another, right? And all of a sudden, this person doesn't know this person, but they say, oh, hey, my kid goes to the same school as yours, right? Or they play on the same soccer team as yours. Or maybe they go to the same church or maybe whatever. You know what I mean? Like people will find those common grounds to talk about.
Definitely.
And all of a sudden, the team goes from five people to 10. Well, that now do a little duplication in your mind. Okay, the next meeting, hey guys, let's all commit to bringing, you know, one to two people new. Now all of a sudden you got 30 or 40 people, and now the team's and that's how I've built everywhere I've built in the world. I've built it in countries in my life. Successfully, where I've had the biggest team in my respective company in that country. And by the way, even foreign languages, I've been very successful in the Spanish speaking market. I've got over 1 million distributors, for example, in my current company.
Awesome, right?
It's crazy, 1 million people. I mean, they're all not active, obviously.
yeah.
But still, when you think about it, that's like 10 soccer. And I've done that, and people say, well, how have you done that in a foreign market? How have you done that in a market where I can speak a little Spanish, but not much. How have you done that? Well, you know what? I found a couple of English-speaking leaders that I taught my business to where their first language is Spanish, but they're fluent in English. They understand what I do, and then they shared the same in the Spanish market, and the business just did, like we just said, it just kind of mushroomed into, you know, over 1 million human beings that have joined my company over the last 14 years in that particular country. So, you know, it's not like you have to have a secret sauce. It works the same. You know, people are people everywhere. What do people want? I mean, you got to always think about it this way. You got to always see it from the other person's perspective. Most of us want safety, right? We want our for our family to be safe. We want to live in a safe environment. We want to have some money in the bank, okay, for a rainy day.
Yes.
We want to put some money aside if we have children for their education. If we don't have children, or maybe they're grown already when we start our business, we want some money for retirement so that in our later years we can have the money to do some of the things maybe that we couldn't do while we were raising our kids, for example.
Yeah, definitely.
My wife and I are there now. Our youngest just turned 20, so we're getting to that point where, you know, we don't have to worry about kids. You know, they take care of themselves for the most part. You know, so, but once again, those are fundamental things that people are interested in. What else are they interested in? They're interested in their health.
Yes, definitely.
You know, they're interested in having a product like yours that's a delivery system of herbs that tastes good in something that they're familiar with, right?
Yes, you know, yes.
Your lion's mane and some of your other nutrients, and you use coffee as a delivery system, which is brilliant, by the way, what you're doing. But, you know, point being, it's like they're interested in their health and longevity.
Yes, yes.
They want to be around to enjoy themselves, right? And once again, what goes through their mind is, how do I fund that?
Right?
How do I fund it when I stop working, right? So they need that plan B, side hustle, side gig, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Right? Different parts of the world call it different things. It's the same thing. It's a part-time thing that you start during your working years while you're doing whatever it is that you do full-time. If you're in construction or you teach school or you drive a truck or you're an accountant or a lawyer or whatever, during those years, you're doing this type of business to get to the point where you replace that income from that job.
And pay
to touch your savings so you can continue to have the same level of income that you've always had, so you leave your real investments for down the road. I mean, these are fundamental things as you talk to people around the world, whether they're my age, I'm in my 60s, whether they're in their 40s, whether they're in their 20s, for that matter. They've all got pretty much the same ideas, okay, of what it is that they want out of life. People are pretty basic. We're, you know, God made us very basic at the end of the day. And, you know, our needs are pretty basic. But getting to those needs successfully, that's the hard part. That's the secret sauce, and that's why we build businesses like we're both building, to, you know, make sure that we put ourselves in that environment and we help other people to do the same.
Definitely. That's great, wonderful, lots of nuggets there, John, and wonderful tips. We'll put them into, transcribe them all on our website for our listeners. And John, it's very important. Our listeners will need to know where you are, where they can find you. What platforms is the best platforms for them to go to?
My website's johnsolider.com, SOLEDER.com. My name's right there. You can see it there, johnsolider.com.
Yep.
My podcast, we're up to, love to have you as a guest, by the way. I'll have Jose send you the information for that.
All right. Awesome, definitely.
To hear some of what you're doing as well. Leaving Nothing to Chance is my podcast. You can also just get there on YouTube with my name, John Solider. I've got about 250 shows now.
And, yep, awesome.
We're growing that platform, but just to reach me, johnsolider.com is just a real basic website. You're not going to be impressed by it. It's just something we put together just for this purpose so people can reach us, you know, for
podcasts,
really. And we're doing a lot of interesting things. We've got a new show that we're going to be launching next month in Anaheim, California, a show devoted to human longevity. That's going to be a new podcast that I'm doing with another.
Wow. Guy. Awesome. Intriguing.
Okay. So we're doing a lot of interesting things around, you know, the health and nutrition world, as well as you know, the direct selling, you know, industry, obviously, that I've spent all these many, many years in.
Yeah, John, from all of what you've spoken about, it's just amazing nuggets, but just something that comes to me, John, you don't seem like a person that's going to retire. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I have no, I'm 64 now, no desire to retire at all, and here's why. Financially, I could. And like I said, kids are grown now. Two of them are still in college, but that's already paid for. So it's not so much financial.
Yeah.
I think we're living at the most unique time in human history,
mm-hmm.
because of things like podcasting, things like
yes.
things like Riverside, Zoom, all these technologies that make doing business easier and more fun.
So yeah.
Retire, number one. Number two, I got a lot to contribute. The business has been good to me. You know, I started out as a poor college kid, you know, looking to make some extra money. And, you know, 42 years later, I still have a business. Not a lot of people can say that in most businesses. And even though the businesses have changed, the business models never changed. So it's been
a yeah.
in the industry. So I feel like I got a lot to give back and help the next generation with. I'm coaching some young people. I've got 18 to 21 year olds that I'm coaching in business, that I'm helping to guide through. In some cases, they're getting their college degrees and they're working in network marketing,
okay.
technology, using AI, using, you know, Google, using other technologies. And I'm coaching them, not so much on the technology, they know more than I do, but more mm-hmm. on the strategy.
Yep.
Yeah, I just want to give back everything that I can. And, you know, when I get to the end, you know, I'll know it. But I don't think it's healthy to retire, by the way. I went to my annual physical this morning, and my doctor yep. is 78.
And wow, awesome.
He's South African. He's from South Africa.
Yep.
We were laughing because I said, what are you doing next? Because I just did a bench press competition this past week.
And yeah.
He's riding his bike. He rides his bike in these big races here in Dallas. And he's doing one called Too Hot to Handle, the end of August. It's a 100-mile
okay.
race. And he said,
wow. You know, wow, so, amazing.
Yeah, so you know, why can you slow down? Can you modify? You know, do you know your limits on certain things? Yes, I do know my limits now. I didn't always when I was younger, but now I have no intention to retire. I love what I do. I love meeting new people like yourself and watching what you do with your company and your business and your podcast and everything else and making new friends around the world. So why stop now? You know, this is the best time.
Yes, definitely. Now, just a last question. We'll go with John. If you're just walking down the street or a shopping center or wherever it may be, it can be anywhere really. And if someone come up to you and they wanted to introduce themselves and they said, John, what do you do now? Could you say that in two or three words? What comes to your mind?
Well, I just, very simple. I'm in the wealth expansion business utilizing technology. And I know that's more than two to three words, but I just tell them
mm-hmm.
that.
Yep.
Then I see what their reaction is.
Yep. Okay. You know, awesome.
Well, everybody loves wealth and everybody loves technology. They don't understand either thing in some cases, but they know a smart person. And that's what we want to recruit anyway, right? We want to recruit people who, you know, are intellectually curious. They might say, mm-hmm. I don't know anything about technology. Well, neither did I. I do now. Not a lot, but mm-hmm. I do now. I do know a lot about wealth creation. Okay,
mm-hmm.
But I didn't when I started. I had to learn it. I came from very poor people. Okay, my parents were working people. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I didn't come from money. It wasn't like, well, you know, my yep. dad gave $1 million to start a business. It was like, no, I started my first business with a $32 check that wouldn't clear the bank that I asked the guy that I gave it to hold it for a week.
Wow.
So where you start does not determine where you finish.
Exactly.
It's all the things you do in between. And you know, I'm a big believer in self-development. You got to keep reading the books, listening to the mm-hmm. podcast, listening to the seminars, self-educating. You know, and mm-hmm. the great thing is today, that's so much easier. When you and I were young, that wasn't as easy.
Yeah.
You got such yeah. access to information today, you know. It's a great thing.
Yeah. Back in the day where you had to, you get cassette of the month and things like that. Yeah. She was a lot more challenging. So,
can I tell one fast story?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned cassette. So my son was cleaning our garage a couple of years ago. And he's 22 now, he'll be 22 this year. And he comes in, he finds a cassette. And he
yeah.
comes to my office here. I've got an office in the house. And he says, Dad, what is this? And when I started my current company 29 years ago, I met with one of the doctors that had put the product together at McGill University. Mm-hmm. And I interviewed him, just like we're being interviewed here. I interviewed him in a sound studio back then. You didn't have all this technology.
Yep.
Anyway, so I interviewed him, and we made a cassette tape, and we mailed that out. That was how we started the company.
Yeah.
So he brings this in, and I start going into my sales pitch, telling him who the doctor was. He's like, "Dad, I don't care about any of that. What is this?" He did not know what physically a cassette was. He had never seen one before. So then I have to give him DVDs, back to 8-tracks, back to cassettes, you know. That's when you feel old, by the way.
Yeah. It's been wonderful to have you today anyway, John, and we look forward to having you back, and I'm sure our listeners will be reaching out to you and also commenting in our websites and our social medias, and we look forward to having you back in a future stage and getting some of those questions that our audience will want. And hopefully they come over to your website and reach out to John, because he's got amazing experiences. You've just heard, I just think, a touch of the iceberg today, have we, John?
That would be it. Yeah, there's a lot more.
Yeah.
There's a great deal more. But, yeah, hey, if I can help, too, as you continue to evolve with your company, if I can help, you want me to do a call for the team as it grows occasionally, I'd be happy to help any way that I can. And who knows, maybe I'll get over to Australia. I've got a good friend in Manila that keeps telling me I got to come see him. I haven't seen him in a while. I got another good friend in Thailand, actually my first sponsor in network marketing. He retired to Thailand a couple years ago, so I got to get over to your part of the world again before I do get too old to do it. So I'd love to meet the team.
Yeah, you've still got at least another 60 years. No worries about that. Okay, thanks, John, having you today. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in. It's really sweet. Your ears, too, were quite the treat. Sipping knowledge in every beat. We hope you found it hard to retreat. Community bonds we hold so tight. In the dark roast or morning light, gathering stories brave and bold. Every listener pure gold. Thank you from the host. Coffee, the ultimate treat.